What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA. This is episode number 159. I'm Jared here with Paul.
What up?
Coming to you from the fight capital of the world. Today, we're going to be talking all about the BKFC, who just finished up their Knucklemania 3 extravaganza. We're going to be talking about some things that this upstart promotion is doing right. We're also going to touch a little bit upon the UFC and maybe just a little bit of boxing as well. But before we get to the combat sports, you know what time it is. Grab that stash, fire it up. Let's get into the weed of the week. Smoke weed every day.
All right. So today we got some something new here for you. We got some Purple Goat by Prime. This one's coming in at a 27% THC.
Purple Goat.
Yes, sir. It is a mixture of Trainwreck and Blueberry Skunk.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Blueberry Skunk is a nice strain.
Yeah.
And Trainwreck is as well.
This is going to be a hybrid. Pretty solid terpene profile on this one, too. Got a 11.9 mg of myrcene, 7.5 carophylline, and 3.5 of limonene.
So oh, that's nice.
That's
a pretty nice flavor.
Yeah.
You know, Prime can be a hit or miss, honestly. Where did you get this from?
The dispensary.
The dispensary? Yeah. Good deal on it this time?
Yeah. I went in there that day and it was the whole store was 25% off. So
yeah, that's pretty sporty.
Yeah, I got a quarter for $35.
Yeah, I once paid $23 for a single gram of Prime at Showgirl.
Ouch.
And that was one that was a pretty shitty cure on it, too. This is nice. I haven't had the Purple Goat. I'm liking it. I like this little silicone bomb with it.
It's a traveler. Traveling for sure. Usually use it like if I take a car dab or something. You know?
Dog, this is what I need because I'll be breaking my glass shit nonstop. I just broke my last glass pipe last week.
Yeah, and my thing is too, like, that's what happened is you're like, oh, I'll bring something to smoke out of. And I was like, fuck, everything I bring, like, I'm scared it will break in a car. So, yeah, This is the traveler.
Well, we also got some strawberry cough on the old vaporizer over here. This is by Provisions. This is rocking 82% THC. We got a little bit of the pink truffles left over from last week's episode that we're going to be smoking on as well.
Wonderful. I'd
like to thank the UFC store for being part of the Weed of the Week portion. You can get some pretty cool deals on UFC gear if you head over to our website, SWATMMA.com, click on the cool stuff button, and you'll see some links there that will get you some pretty cool savings on some of the latest and greatest apparel from the UFC store. Now let's get into the BKFC, Paulie, because fucking we just finished with Knucklemania 3.
Yeah, great night of fights. Some, you know, pretty interesting outcomes.
You know, let's roll it back. Knucklemania 1 almost seemed borderline cheesy when they came up with the idea.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. Mm-hmm. And now, fast forward here, we just finished up the third one. Talk about some quality fights, man.
Yeah.
It was headlined by a title unification bout between Richmond and Lorenzo Hunt, which was just a crazy fight that we'll get to. You know, we had interviews with some fighters on this card. We had a lot of interest going in here to Diego Sanchez appearing on here, John Dodson appearing on here, his brother appearing on the card. There were some familiar MMA names. Mm-hmm. And, man, let's talk about one fight that really stood out to me, homie, and that was the John Dodson-Jared Grant fight. Yeah. Jared Grant was a former interim bantamweight champion. Mm-hmm. Dropped down to flyweight. Now, he did miss weight by 1 pound, which could indicate a pretty tough weight cut here.
Yeah.
But he came in here, and once again, we've got John Dodson finishing with a first-round knockout. I believe it was around the 140 mark. And do you think anybody can contend with this man's speed inside the squared circle?
It's truly like an anomaly to think that John Dodson has not only carried his speed but power into a later of his career, which just doesn't happen in fighting. You know, usually it's one of those two go as you carry on with your career. But I truly feel like his power is the same it was all the way back on The Ultimate Fighter when he knocked out TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To now, where he's had this long standing, you know, not only MMA career, but now just fighting career in general, to see where he still is and at that level. Like, I don't think there's anyone in this weight class in the BKFC who can beat him.
Well, we just rewatched his fight, you know, moments ago. He moves in and out so fast. Sometimes you can't really see what he did on camera.
Yep.
It's amazing. And I think partially what's happened here is, I think, you know, obviously he was well known in MMA for his speed as well, but I think he had to hold back a little in mixed martial arts because he's worried about other angles. Worried, I mean, you've got to pay attention to feet, you've got to pay attention to hips, you've got to pay attention to shoulders.
Yeah.
Where now he's in a sport where you're really just paying attention to the shoulders area, you know, the little triangle the boxer's got to look at. And I think it allows him to just really let go in ways that he couldn't quite in MMA.
And
you're right. He's crazy fast, and not only does he have power, but when he catches somebody who's moving in the opposite direction as him, when he's coming in that fast, it really, really amplifies the force here.
Well, and I do think when you talk about the BKFC, also it has almost like a hybrid striking system, you know, because it's not quite the MMA striking where, you know, you're like you said, worried about kicks, takedowns, elbows, stuff like that. But you're not quite in a boxing stance either, because you can't necessarily use the same defense that you could use in a boxing match that you can in a BKFC fight.
No, right. So like an obvious example would be like Floyd Mayweather's fucking, you know, turtle shell defense. Like you can't necessarily do that.
It'd be very tough. Mean, you could, I guess, if you're Floyd Mayweather probably, but like, you know what I mean? Like that's just not very possible. So it's kind of almost tailored to how Dotson's striking style has been throughout his MMA career, where it's you know, it's open and flowy, but at the same time, it's all about, you know, closing distance.
Well, he called for a title shot. They're going to make an inaugural belt. They're going to definitely put him in it. I mean, he's barely getting touched in these things.
Yeah.
I don't see how anybody can really contend with him.
No.
I mean, we'll see what other kind of talent they can bring in.
Yeah.
What else stood out for you on this card?
Man, I really liked that that Greg Hardy lost.
Josh Watson.
With the plus two,
plus 525. God, what a bet. 525 that
underdog.
Yeah.
Freaking almost as the fight stopped in between the first two rounds because of a nasty cut on his eyebrow.
And that was after Greg Hardy got saved by the bell in the first round because he had him. Dude, he was working him. Hardy was trying to work that jab.
Yeah.
He was plodding in, but Watson can take a punch.
I also do think that Greg Hardy's such a big guy. If he peppers you with a jab, and it's just going to slice you up.
Yeah.
You know? Well, man, what a fight, though. The thing is, too, if Hardy doesn't hit the ropes, I think in the first, I think he gets
knocked it's over.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In boxing, he'd have gone through those ropes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's only because they got there's some weird hybrid of
like cage
ropes. They're like steel ropes. They're hard. It's, what do they call it? The squared circle or whatever. It's this weird thing. They're not really ropes. Yeah. It's not a cage.
Yeah.
But yeah, he definitely would have fallen. Then the second round starts, and he came out swinging. Watson slips a punch perfectly. He slips a right hook from Hardy, and he counters with a left hook right as Hardy's, you know, he whiffed. He's turning into it, and just smack, sent that motherfucker right to the canvas. Cracked his dumbass head on the fucking canvas.
Not only that, I feel like that the days carried over between rounds. Like, I don't think Hardy was back.
No, he wasn't back. He was seriously hurt.
He was hurt. He was wild bad at the end of the first, man. I don't even know how he got up to the eight count, because he was looking rough.
Yeah.
So I do think going into that second round, he was in a very similar mind state, and he got just finished off there.
I hope he just fades off into obscurity in combat sports now. He's probably going to go try boxing again. But
yeah, I mean, he's, what, 2-0 as a boxer?
Yeah, but one of those wins is over a guy he outweighed by 80 pounds.
Yeah, man. Sam Rockman.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
It was just a bullshit decision where you're just hiding behind the gloves. Like, you can't hide behind the gloves in bare knuckle. Mm-hmm. And so he got exposed pretty quick. I thought that was awesome. We did have, you know, a pretty much heralded co-main event that had boxing champion Austin Trout. He's also a native in Albuquerque. Face off against Albuquerque's very favorite son, you know, Diego Sanchez. And about that, had some controversy due to the matchup.
Yeah.
I don't think it's as egregious as everybody says. I mean, it's easy to say that now because Sanchez got beat pretty bad. I mean, he started off okay.
Yeah.
But then as it wore on, even it wore on in the first round, he just got outclassed big time. Well, and then he got cut, and then he got clowned on.
Yeah, you know what I think is, it's something they had done before the fight when they had that little interview with Diego where they said, you know, Diego, if you think about like the spirit of bare knuckle fighting and the whole, you know, what this promotion was made for, it really seems like it would be for a fighter like you. Mm-hmm. And I can wholeheartedly agree with that. Maybe 10 years ago, though.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel like that's one thing of why people are getting so up in arms about the matchup and how it all played out and everything because of Diego's age and how much real. Because there's a difference between your actual age and your fight age. Diego's fought a lot, and he's been in a lot of wars. He's been in a lot of absolute battles. And I just don't think that necessarily people want to see him go through that anymore. You know, like, I think it's just, like, yeah, Trout's kind of, like, you know, he's a little bit older. He's, you know, not the apex of the boxing scene either anymore. But at the same time, I think that he's got a little bit more meat on the bones than someone like Diego, who's just kind of was let go of the UFC because they were like at that point where they have their conversation with guys that Dana always talks
that,
about.
And he had that shit with his Fabia dude going on too. Yeah, but you know, a lot of people would you know, to play devil's advocate and say, well, look at Artem Lobov versus Pauly Malignaggi. Lobov, Diego was a better MMA fighter than Artem Lobov was.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, Lobov had a lot more bare knuckle experience.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I know, this was Diego's very first attempt at bare knuckle, and he just got fucked up. I mean, it is what it is. I don't hate on it. Bare knuckle's not as brutal as people think. You're more prone to get lacerated, less prone to get concussed. It's just true. There's studies behind it at this point. But you know, Austin Trout comes out with a big showing, and then Luis Palomino, 155 pound champ. He's a dual champ, 170 as well, or 165 it is. There, you know, he came up into the squared circle, and they're calling for that fight, a title shot for him. Which is less off of beating Diego Sanchez, more based on the fact that Austin Trout showed that his boxing skills, he was able to make that transition into bare knuckle and still have that. Yeah. Whereas someone like Malignaggi couldn't. His style wasn't really. So that's an interesting fight.
I'm going to ask you a serious question, and people might hate me for saying this. But do you feel like Palomino is building this fight up with Trout because he doesn't want to fight Chad Mendes? Because I think in a scenario where Palomino fights Trout and, you know, kind of is at that age where things are kind of coming to an end for him anyways, he's trying to hold on to that belt and continue that legacy and not rush into a guy like Mendes because he knows in his heart of hearts Mendes was a better MMA fighter, was a whole different level when you talk about like actual like skills and where they got to.
Yeah.
And he's also shown that he's just as devastating inside the bare knuckles ring also. Like,
he could see Trout as a more,
cuz I think Mendes,
a somewhat easier fight and more beneficial to his legacy.
The money fight. Mendes is the money fight. Mendes is the skill biggest fight that Palomino can take right now.
Yeah, he didn't say shit about Jack Mendes. He was there in the ring
shit.
Fucking Austin Trout.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know who Austin Trout is.
Yeah, I mean, people who watch boxing, like, you know, someone like me and you watch boxing, has seen boxing for years, it's like, you know, we've seen the name, heard the name. He was never like the biggest boxer, but, you know, he's good. And that's, I don't know,
that's
kind
of
my theory.
Take. That's an interesting
take. It's kind
of
my theory.
You're trying to take this. It's not that anybody that fights is scared, but there are safer fights.
100%.
That you can take.
Yeah, okay.
Than other
I definitely worded that wrong. It's not scared, but he's
looking to preserve his legacy in the best way possible.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Like,
sure. That could be.
That was a business move for sure, because at the end of the day, I think Trout gives you an opportunity to continue your legacy and lengthen your resume. And a guy like Mendes is a big risk, because I think he's the underdog in a fight against Mendes, to be honest.
Yeah, I would say so. Based on what we've seen so far from Chad in bare knuckle, that'd be a hell of a fight.
Yeah.
Hell of a fight. Let's talk about that main event. That was a hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. Title unification bout. 185 pounds. We've got Lorenzo Hunt, Mike Richmond. Over in one round.
Yeah.
Last 10 seconds, Hunt scores a massive comeback KO after getting lit the fuck up. Yeah. Richmond put on a hell of a fight. I've never seen anybody take it to Lorenzo Hunt like that.
Yeah.
And take Hunt's shots the way that he was. He looked spectacular. I was on our Twitter account, the SWAT MMA podcast account, and I was typing up how incredible that Richmond looked.
Yeah.
And he had just put Hunt down. They were up against the ropes, and he had just put him down. There was 10 seconds left, and I was like, this Richmond looks incredible.
Yeah.
And then Hunt stands up, and with his very next punch, Richmond's out fucking cold. Sleep.
Yeah.
Asleep. Bell ends. Unified title, and still. Yeah. I had to change the tweet and add, what the fuck just happened? Richmond just got KO'd. So it starts off, Richmond looks so good. Oh my God, he just got KO'd. What the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I think this is just something we've continuously seen through Lorenzo Hunt's career at this point. You know, he gets in these firefights where someone's going to hit the canvas, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be the other guy.
This guy's like 9-1 now, 10-1.
I think he's 10-0.
No, he's got one loss.
Oh, okay.
But, like, it was like his first fight, I think.
Okay.
He's been on a tear ever since. It's unbelievable. And these are really two highly skilled fighters. Like, we're talking about Chad Mendez and Luis Palomino being very highly skilled. These guys are right up there.
Yeah.
I mean, a cool thing about BKFC, this is actually not on the list that we're going to be talking about in a minute, is that you can also see a wide range of skills where kind of the UFC's kind of lost that, where you can see kind of guys, like, in the beginning stages of their career on the same card as guys who are at the top level.
Yeah.
Don't really see that in UFC anymore, but you do in BKFC. A lot of their opening prelims are still a little bit raw, as they should be, but these guys at the top are fucking technicians, man.
Yeah.
And that title fight was no different. Like, Richmond got knocked out, but he looked spectacular all the way up to it. Well, like, basically, I don't think if they were pound for pound, neck and neck, I would just say, well, now I guess you put Hunt at 1 and Richmond at number 2 in this hypothetical scenario if Luis Palomino didn't exist.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah, well... And here's my thing, too, is I think what makes the BKFC so exciting and such a popular thing that's, you know, kind of taken its own spot in the mainstream at this point is just the undeniable, like, fact that the fight can end at any moment. Like, you know, it doesn't matter if you're up 4 rounds and you're just dominating the guy. There's just so much more opportunity to land one flush in BKFC because the defense is such a hard thing to keep, you know, for 5 rounds with no fucking gloves or anything, you know? It's like, it's pretty hard to slip punches like that.
Connor Tierney are really shocking with their defensive maneuverability that they're showing.
Yeah. So I just feel like that's what adds to it as well, you know? That just exciting nature of, well, even though Richmond was getting the better of Hunt throughout that first round, all it took was that one combination for Hunt to land, for the fight to be over, and to him to retain the title.
Now Hunt is calling for a shot at the heavyweight title. He wants the winner of next week's BKFC New Orleans, which sees heavyweight champ Arnold Allen defend against undefeated 3-0 former UFC fighter Alan Belcher for the world heavyweight title. This is Arnold Allen's second defense. That would be, they might give it to Hunt because he has really put in the work and he's excellent at promoting.
He's great on the mic.
He's really, really done a lot, I think, for BKFC. And he just might be, I mean, who's better, him or Palomino? It's really hard to fucking say who is the pound for pound best. It's really tough. It's almost harder than in MMA to have that conversation.
Absolutely.
So. I don't think Richmond's stock is hurt at all here.
No.
And I think Hunt just might get a crack at a third belt.
Which would be nuts.
Well, let's briefly talk about next week's fight before we talk about what exactly the BKFC is doing right with their promotion.
Yeah.
But next week's card is mainly, you know, the focus is going to be on that heavyweight title. This is the second defense after beating Kleckler. He takes on Alan Belcher. won the title from Joey Beltran. This is a man, Arnold Adams is, I believe he's 8-1 in...
Only losses to Sam Schumacher, which is...
No,
Or not Sam Schumacher.
No, he beat Schumacher.
Chase Sherman,
yes.
Which is no slouch.
No, not at all. And he's actually fought in BKFC 1, yeah. And now he's fighting in their latest card, defending his heavyweight title. So he's been around quite some time with the promotion. He's definitely a veteran of this promotion. But he's got his hands full with Alan Belcher, who fought at middleweight in the UFC and is packed on considerable fucking real genuine size. Yeah. Like, he's not just like a blown up middleweight. I mean,
I've seen him a couple times in person. And he's a big guy.
Yeah, he's big as fuck. I don't know how he ever fought that low. Like, he must have...
Cutting hella weight.
So he's legit heavyweight. He's got legitimate power here. This will be a very interesting fight. It's really tough to pick because either one of these guys could knock each other out. I imagine the Vegas odds are going to be on Arnold Allen just for his experience overall being so much greater
than
Belcher. I mean, 3-0 in BKFC is actually, you're getting...
And Belcher had got that rub after his last fight with that crazy, you know, freaking Rocky spit fucking KOs.
Yeah, that was a wild knockout.
That shit was nuts.
Belcher's, he's claiming to be the top pound-for-pound fighter in fucking bare knuckle. And, I mean, if he goes out here and destroys Arnold Allen or something, he might have a fucking say in that.
Yeah, I mean, and I do think a fight with him and Lorenzo Hunt makes a lot of sense. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really know who to take in this one, to be honest.
I'm going with Belcher in an upset. I like that dude. He's got a tattoo of one of my relatives on his arm. I mean, I got to pick Belcher. Fucked up tattoo that it is. I used to get almost insulted by that thing. Jesus Christ, that's a terrible Johnny Cash tattoo moment. But, sorry. Sorry. You big boy.
Oh, Lord. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take Adams, to be honest.
Well, we'll
I think their size and, you know, just... the ability of Adams, I think, will be too much. Because I think Belcher, one thing he has, he's gotten, like, much bigger, like, you know, like, size-wise, but he's still about the same size as probably, about, like, a UFC light heavyweight. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not, and, you know, that happens a lot in boxing. You know, you get a lot of, like, because when it's 205 and above, so, you know, he, I would say he's on the smaller side of heavyweight, whereas Adams is a little bit more natural in the heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? So
we'll see. What we can guarantee is it's going to be a great card.
Yeah.
Which, let's talk about the BKFC in a more serious note now. Let's talk, like, we spend a lot of time on the show, it feels like, talking about the things that the UFC is doing wrong.
Yeah.
Which the list seems to grow on a steady basis. But let's shift our focus to now, I mean, BKFC wrapped up Knucklemania 3. They finished 38 other numbered events. What are they doing right here? We've got a list of 9 things that are in no particular order of importance that the BKFC is really doing properly that we think is going to just lead to continued success, and we're going to talk about them. So what's the number one thing, really, that we...
Well, it's the number one thing that every promotion on earth needs to do, and it's have exciting fights. You know, the best fight the best in the BKFC at this point. There's no real, you know, crazy politics as far as who's fighting who and who's getting stepped over and interim titles or anything. For the most part, they are putting on the most exciting fights that they can, you know, whether with the talent of, you know.
I challenge anybody to watch next week's UFC, Apex, whatever it is, from start to finish, watch every prelim, watch the whole show, and then watch next week's BKFC card and do the exact same thing. And you tell me which one is more exciting, fight for fight, pound for pound.
Yeah.
Which one left you bored looking at your watch, looking for a snack, maybe wandering around your house, and which one kept you glued to the TV? Either, both, none.
Yeah, because that's another thing kind of alluded to what I was saying before is, like, you can never step away from the screen when the BKFC is on.
I have never seen a bad BKFC card. I've seen plenty of bad UFC cards. The BKFC is exciting.
It's the nature of the sport, too. Like, the sport itself, like, it's just exciting overall. You know, and I think that's another big point is, like, having doing it the right way. You know, they kind of have a hybrid system, you know, whether it's, you know, the cage that's kind of a ring, you know, the walkouts are really great. I like them a lot.
Well, I mean, and they're exciting across all weight classes. The big boys are exciting, all the way down the little guys are exciting. The women's fights are exciting. Everything is really clicking with that one. And you mentioned it. That's another thing we've got to listen. Let's just talk about it. They do fighter walkouts.
Yeah.
That might seem like a small thing.
It's not, though, because I'll use boxing as a perfect example. When Tyson Fury has, you know, a random fight against Otto Wallin on fucking ESPN Plus, and no one gives a shit about what it is. What was the one thing everybody talked about? How he did the walkout, the Apollo Creed walkout, the Living in America. That was
amazing, dude.
All that.
It gives me tingles now just thinking about it. That was dope.
That was the overall story coming out of that.
Yeah.
So when you have a product where, you know, people get a little bit of flair added to it and a little bit of, you know, showmanship, and they do that, and it turns into, even the UFC, the whole, like, Adesanya does it. Conor McGregor's always done it.
But that's, you know, like the only two, because the UFC has really ruined it, is what they did. They took all the individuality away, and they made it where all you can do is maybe play some music if they approve it.
Yeah.
You can't wear what you want. You can't do anything. And if you're super special like Adesanya or really special like Conor, Sinead will maybe come in and play a song, or they'll let you wear a hat and carry an urn, and everybody will think it's the shit, which it was cool.
Yeah.
But it's not that cool. Yeah. I mean, look at what Deontay Wilder does in boxing. Yeah. I mean... there's a rich history of exotic
Floyd
walkouts.
Mayweather's done some ones in the past. Like,
it's part of the sport. Yeah. And UFC came along and kind of fucked it up.
Yeah.
And now BKFC is there, and they're making sure that they come out. There's a little, they've got a stage. They got custom lights for each fighter. They got the smoke. It's kind of reminiscent of Bellator, right?
Yeah, kind of like a Bellator Pride mix.
Yeah.
Because, like, we've seen those kind of walkouts in Bellator. We see them in Pride. And I think it's just good for everyone involved. Like, you know, there's never really something where a walkout's going to ruin the fight. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's another great thing they're doing. And a part of that walkout thing is, I think the best part is they're letting their fighters be sponsored by all these different larger corporations and stuff like that. And so,
Sponsorships are definitely the third thing they're doing right. Absolutely.
They're huge in BKFC, whether it's the, you know, the banners you put on behind you when you're getting your name called, or, you know, the t-shirts, the
patches on your shirts,
patches on your shorts. Like, yeah, like it's everything, because that's how these guys, outside of not only getting paid well or handsomely by the BKFC, they're also getting paid on the back end if things aren't necessarily taking off for them yet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
When you have a guy who's, you know, someone who maybe in the future will be a big part of these BKFC events, but right now is still at the lower levels, for him to be able to put some random, you know, company's
even if
name
it's just
on
local
their thing
names,
for $500 or an extra $500 at the end of the fight, that's huge for
if
them.
You can
not
sell 10 patches at $500 a pop.
Yeah,
man, that's a big deal for a young fighter trying to. Most of these guys have jobs.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, they need to be able to do this. And then when they get up to the bigger things, they can make a lot more money. You know what I mean? When you're guys like when you're Chad Mendes coming in, and you got the Crescent Tools sponsorship behind you now, when you got their fucking energy drink behind you, these other things, it's some real money.
Even the OnlyFans.
So it benefits all the way, top to bottom.
Yeah,
you know
even,
what I mean?
Honestly, as funny as it is, like, even the OnlyFans thing is huge, too. OnlyFans is a giant media company.
We should give them some credit. They're trying to get more than just the porn.
They really are
trying to reach out with the combat sports, and I think it's cool. I still have never checked out a fighter's OnlyFans.
It's because
I don't know. I never.
Well, it's
out
one
any,
of those things too. Is like what they're doing is kind of almost like a Patreon kind of like model. You know, where it's like you can pay to watch this fighter training camp and see how he's putting together, you know, what he's going to do.
Right.
And so I think that's huge. And we've talked about in the past how much we don't like Triller, but at the same time, the sponsorship deal they did with Triller was huge.
Yeah, that's the next thing that they're doing, which is they're doing right, is they teamed up with somebody with some money.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems, Paul, that they managed to retain control of everything.
Yeah.
Because Triller, in you and my's eyes, has a reputation for being idiots with their fucking cash.
Yeah.
I mean, look how bad they fucked up the Teofimo Lopez fight. I mean, they bid $6 million when the closest bid behind them was like
remember?
$2 million. And then they fucked the whole thing up and it never even happened.
Remember, it was huge too. Everyone was like, man, this is boxing history for these guys. It's so big for everyone involved. And then for it to just faceplant like that, I thought it was a pretty big, it's a pretty big damning moment on Triller as a major boxing promoter. And I feel like that kind of, after that, they had this bad rep. But since then, teaming up with BKFC and, I don't feel like they've done anything bad with that. I think, if anything, they've done everything correctly, which is pretty big.
And their money just kicked in at the start here of 2023 as well. Yeah. Some of these bigger signings that they had in 2022, Triller money wasn't even involved in that yet. So they've got some long-term sustainability with this partnership with them. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, they have, as near as we can tell, every indication would say, non-restrictive contracts.
Yeah.
They allow their fighters to do other things. John Dodson, in between his BKFC fights, his last one and the one he just had, went over to Rizin and had an MMA fight, which he won.
Even Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy has had two boxing matches while he was still signed to BKFC. Artem Lobov had a fight in Bellator. He had, they have contracts where if you're going to go out and do other things, they would rather, still retain you as a fighter on their roster and allow you to do those stuff.
Right, and that's something smart that they're doing. And just look at the UFC again as an example. Look at the Francis Ngannou situation. That's what the whole thing blew up over. The man just wanted to box.
Yeah.
He wanted to be treated with a little respect, but the boxing thing was like at least 50% of what the reason he left.
And there's such a case-by-case basis company, too, because the whole Conor thing, and then also you can even look at, so it's actually something that has benefited the BKFC, but technically, Chad Mendes is still under contract with the UFC. He's still technically on a 3-fight deal.
Let
they
him
did
leave. Yeah,
they did some deal between the Triller or not? Sorry, BKFC and the UFC, where he's allowed to fight for the BKFC. But if he ever comes back to MMA, it has to be with the UFC.
Right.
And
that's just on a case by case thing. No one else can get that deal. I don't know how Chad got it.
But. Yeah, but basically, what it boils down to is their ability to have open lines of communication with all these different promotions will pay off for them in the end. Because when it comes time, when Bellator is knocking and they send a guy like Michael Venom Page over to fight on Bare Knuckle, it's huge and one of their biggest pay-per-views against a guy like Mike Perry. What's going to happen when Bellator calls the BKFC and wants Mike Perry for a main event? They're going to let them do that too.
Exactly. That's the next thing that they're doing right, is the cross promotion, which the UFC refused to do for so many years, which is why Fedor never showed up, because they wouldn't even cross promote with M1 Global back in the day, which was silly. And now we've already got open cross promotion with Bellator, Rizin, and BKFC all allowing fighters
and the UFC
to commingle. And, well, apparently the UFC on the DL with that, But even more so, we've got, Rizin allowing John Dodson to come over and fight. We've got Bellator allowing an active fighter in one of their top tier talents to go over and do bare knuckle in between fights. Mendes had retired.
Yeah. He wasn't
actively fighting for the UFC.
Yeah.
But
I just
MVP
feel like
is.
It's just such a credit to David Feldman's ability to have good business relationships with all the different major promotions inside both boxing and MMA. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a big, that's a pretty big thing to, have in your cap, to not only have, got guys who are UFC fighters on contracts, you have guys who have turned down UFC contracts for you, you have guys who have fought in Bellator, Rizin, boxers, all these different avenues and all these different, fighting promotions, where you have open contact with them because they trust that you're not trying to step on their territory. You're starting something different and new. And that's what I think is so cool about the BKFC also. You see so many different mixes of talents and shit like that as well.
You do, which kind of ties into the sixth thing that they're doing right over there, is they're getting this mixture of big names from other sports, some retired, some active, and at the same time, they are growing their own homegrown talent with younger fighters and building them up. So they're not just relying heavily on one or the other. It's, in my estimation, what they're doing so far is a near-perfect mixture of the two.
Yeah. Because, yeah, if you, and also what I think is also covered in there that has helped them a lot is it brings attention to their talent pool. You know what I mean? Like, their talent pool is ever changing in BKFC in the three, four-ish years like they've been around. Mm-hmm. We've seen it go from kind of like this raw new sport where guys were trying so much new different shit, and then it kind of turned into, all right, now people are starting to see it as something that's going to last. And now I think we're at this point where people are, like you said, not only is it homegrown talent, but it's people are choosing bare knuckle fighting over their sport they began with, or you know,
you've got guys like Connor Tierney who could have definitely chosen other sports, and instead, when he left the amateur boxing ranks, he focused purely on
bare knuckle.
Yeah. And he's just one of many that I think could have blown up elsewhere and is now about to blow up in the BKFC world due to that.
Yeah, and I think that when you turn around and you bring in guys like Mike Perry who could see that talent of your sport within him during his UFC career, and that you already know he has the charisma and everything else like that, that you knew he was a perfect place was bare knuckle fighting championship. You know, like before with like Julian Lane and people like that, you knew that they would flourish in that kind of stuff. Even Artem Lobov, you knew he would flourish in that. But not only knowing that those guys would help build it, but then once those guys built it and legitimized it, bringing in these bigger names just legitimizes it so much more. You know, the Chad Mendezes, even Houston Paige Alexander, all these guys who have been around the sport and have been names within the fighting community for years. It's huge. It's huge.
And I would say Paige was a win for them as well. I know she got a multi-million-dollar contract, and she hasn't won so far anything, but she came in at a time when there was still a lot of this noise about it being quote-unquote too brutal.
Yeah.
And then here comes this absolutely gorgeous woman who's going to do bare knuckle.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, have you seen Paige's Insta lately? I mean, that's not what you think of if you as this bare knuckle. And I think it helped kind of soften their image a little bit. And look, this isn't just like crazy cavemen winging it here. Mm-hmm. Like, these are talented fighters and of all sorts.
Yeah.
And look at, since then, after Paige came through, look at the number of women that have come into the sport that are flourishing now.
Yeah.
And I think that she's no Ronda Rousey of the sport, but I think that signing of someone who happened to have the whole looks thing going for her.
Yeah.
At the time when the sport was being called so brutal, it was a good juxtaposition of those two contrasts that I think really benefited the BKFC.
Yeah, it's a definite turning point for them when you look at not only viewership, but popularity. It skyrocketed after that, I mean, and we've talked about this 100 times on the show, and I think it's really the biggest point to hammer home for people also is the BKFC app is the best $5 you can literally use in all of combat sports, man.
Just raised it by $2.
Well, $7. $7. Like, oh, now. No. Yeah, we're talking $7 over a 12-month span. What are you fucking... you're not paying
You
shit.
Get all the pay-per-views. Yeah. You get the fight library. You get everything with it. It's an affordable product. Like that's the eighth thing they're doing right here on our list. It's an affordable product that really... And it's cancelable at any time. It's not like you have to buy a year subscription. Like, you can literally spend $7 and check it out if you don't like it. You don't have to fuck with it no more.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is you're not going to like it. If you like fighting and you like exciting fights, the BKFC is like the epitome of exciting fights. Like,
yes. And compare that to the UFC again. Not to beat a dead horse, but I quit. I didn't renew my ESPN membership. I'm no longer watching Fight Nights at the Apex, and we have a damn MMA podcast. But I can't suffer through this nonsense anymore. They're boring. The fights, half of them suck. There's no crowd. I can't. It's 6 hours of nonsense I can't deal with to maybe get one good fight too.
Well, not only that though, because it's the energy of it, man. There's none. Because even if there is exciting fights, it even makes you have to like get up for it even more because there's no energy that it like is within the room. And then now when we watch any card that has any kind of energy, we're like, fuck, man, these people are alive.
That's right. BKFC isn't like that. It feels like the fights just clock right along. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. The commentary is good. Everything. And you're paying look at the pricing difference. Yeah. Like ESPN, I think, just raised their shit to $10, and that includes no pay-per-views. The pay-per-views are now like $85, I believe.
So think about it. And, at the base level, to be a fan of the UFC right now is $120 a year.
Yeah.
The base level.
Yeah.
And then let's say you're just by
you don't get any pay-per-views
one
for that.
Pay-per-view. You're looking at $200 a year. Let's say you buy all 12. Where the fuck are you at then?
Right, and it's like $84 a year for BKFC, and you get every single pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So it's the cost of one UFC pay-per-view. And you get all of their other fights that aren't pay-per-views. Yep. You get their little contender series tryouts. You get the BKFC Thailand stuff. You get the fight library. You get the interviews, the press conferences, all this stuff.
And I think that's a 10th thing that's actually not on here. We didn't plan on talking about. But I feel like a huge thing that the BKFC does well, too, is their content creation is, like, through the roof. Like, when you talk about having just a small promotion that is as old as they have, the amount of content that they pump out for, you know, pre-fights, you know, like you said, that whole tryout system, all the different interviews, all the different everything that they have on that app for only being, like you said, what was like 4 or 5 years old?
Yeah.
Like, is nuts. It's nuts. Like, they have a huge, extensive library of fights just, like...
Yeah, it's really impressive. It's a really good deal.
It's really good.
And the last thing on this list... We don't have a lot of concrete evidence towards, but there's every indication that they are paying quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't heard anybody complain about BKFC pay. No. I don't think guys like Chad Mendes are like, I'm done in the UFC, and then they want to go do this when they're still in a contract. He could just go get a fight in the UFC. You need money.
Yeah.
Unless you're getting paid. Paige VanZant got paid. These lower tier fighters, I know they're getting lower tier money, but they're getting sponsorships and they're getting paid good enough where they're not. It's not 2 G's in the slap fight league. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's true.
So, and that's always important to us as fans, and seeing these guys have the opportunities at least to earn some good money.
Yeah, and I also think that it's another option. Everyone always talks about the UFC is the best place for, you know, your legacy and popularity and blah, 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 blah. Mm. But at the end of the day, I really feel like if it's me and it's you, I think that if I'm going to be set up for the rest of my life, I'm going to take the money over the fame. Like, when it comes to fighting, I hate to say it, like, you know, like...
Surprise fame, fighting.
Yeah, like, fame has its own social currency, but money is money. At the end of the day, if you give me an X amount of dollars and be like, hey, this is what you got for your fighting career. Go do something else with it. Naturally, as people, you should be able to do something else.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's just good to know that none of these guys are getting fucked, it would seem.
It would certainly seem that way.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Another great outing by the BKFC with Knucklemania 3. I think we're probably going to be doing those for a while. Maybe at one point we'll be sitting here talking about Knucklemania 20. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we wish continued success for them. Check out the app. Like Paul was saying, it's like $5-$7 spending. I think if your grandfather didn't, it stays at $5. I really don't know. But dude, we're talking about $2 difference a month. It's definitely worth it. I think that wraps the episode.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. You can find out, like we said, some good deals on the UFC store items by swinging by our website, swatmma.com. Click that cool gear button. You will also find some deals from Binoid CBD as well, where you can save up to 20% on, for now, legal hemp products across all 50 states.
And then you can head over to Instagram and follow us at SWATMMA Podcast, or you can head over to the website, SWATMMA.com, where you can click the gear button, buy a t-shirt, and support the podcast.
Thanks, everybody.